'Tis a strange thing to be doing, to be standing outside the children's playground in Lahinch in Ireland on Sunday the 6th, I think it is, of January 2013. Incredibly mild day. When my daughter and her mother run around inside in the playground and I hold Rocky the cottontail terrier gingerly between my feet on a lead, and the mist is down, and in the background the sound you might hear as ambient is white horses crashing on the shore as the tide, which is just starting to turn, moves out. And this misty day where you can see none of the conventional beauty, shall we say, of Lahinch, rages round me. And the weirdest thing of all is that I'm thinking of Las Vegas. Now, why would a man be doing such a mad thing? He might be thinking, oh, I'd love to go to Las Vegas because it's warm and sunny over there. Or I'm a gambling addict who has spent his entire life dreaming of Vegas as Mecca, Medina, or wherever. But no. The reason I'm talking to you and myself and to the dog and to the elements about Las Vegas is because three lovely people, Diane Brogan, Stephen Brogan, and Jane Boyd, have been good enough to record an audio boo while in Las Vegas. And I was listening to them talking about flowers and water and hotels and all that sort of stuff. Hold on one second. Pardon? Actually, I was so hiding from the weather that I never saw you. Can you go back on the zip wire again?
I'm done.
Oh, we might have to finish this audio in a minute. Okay, I've shifted position now. I was meant to be watching eagle-eyed my daughter and her mother on a zip wire and judging who was the best. Oh, here she comes now. Here she comes on the zip wire. I give that 8 out of 10. Yeah, 8 out of 10. A bit more gymnastics. A bit more fancy stuff would move it up to 9 out of 10.
What? Then what would make it out of 10 out of 10?
You'd have to hang upside down with just one leg and you know, do a flip somersault just as you got to the crash. But 8 out of 10 is the highest mark achieved so far today. So back to Las Vegas, because the ground here is wet and is squelchy, and literally it's mist and water all over the place. And the contrast with Las Vegas couldn't be starker. Oh dear, I think I've upset somebody's feelings. She's walking away from the zip wire. In a disconsolate body language from the back. Oh, right, well. Anyway, back to Las Vegas. I went to Las Vegas in 1968. So, like everybody else, I have my own picture of Las Vegas, which is based on my imagination, which is some tenuous connection with reality. And it means, of course, that things like Las Vegas is a strip. You know, a strip of flashing lights and huge monster hotels and the mafia owning everything. And that being the entire sum of it. But in 68, when I flew into Vegas with my godmother's uncle to spend 3 nights, I think it was. It might have been 2, but it certainly felt like 3. I had a wonderful weekend there. I wasn't old enough to drink alcohol, so I kind of wandered around watching people lifting free glasses of champagne off trays, I think. The thing I remember most of all was that it was there were no clocks, and I wandered in watching people playing blackjack and trying to win money out of machines. I didn't get to see any very high rollers. I did get to see somebody standing there in front of a whole load of coins crashing onto the ground. But wonderful thing about Las Vegas for me in 1968 was I got to see a couple of shows which were quite remarkable. These were like cabaret shows with full elaborate, no holds barred kind of in from the point of view of spectacle. Yeah, even to this day, I remember the sensation of sitting in the stalls in a show. Now, there were loads of sideshows where you could see, you know, minor artists like Tom Jones singing, I think. No, I was before Tom Jones became really huge, you know, really huge. My memory might be faulty now about who I saw, but you were as likely to see, you know, Shirley Bassey in the side of the hotel on a freebie, and I was just in awe. I mean, here was this young lad from the west of Ireland, west of the Shannon, with his godmother's husband, with whom I had a difficult relationship, shall we say. In other words, I don't think either of us liked each other. I certainly have to confess that I never liked him while he was alive, and I feel more fondly towards him now. May he rest in peace. But it was a difficult old, you know, but it was the best weekend that we ever had together. And the Las Vegas for me was all glitz and lights and overwhelming sensations. The idea that anyone would actually want to live there was for me a shock later on when I discovered that there might be more to Las Vegas than simply the Strip. I believe, without having any solid knowledge, that lots of money has been invested in Las Vegas to make it a great place to live. And I was shocked to discover that there was a decent golf course in Las Vegas. Now, that'll tell you how much out of touch I am. But, you know, it was a place that would be ferociously hot in the summer, I imagined. But it must be stunning in the winter. But the truth is, I have nothing but an imagination of Las Vegas, which is kind of ossified, set back in the past. And when my good friends, Diane Brogan and Steve Brogan, travelled across the United States on a what I'll call an epic journey, going through all sorts of exotic places with exotic names, or names that were exotic to me, I was intrigued, and even before they were, what kind of a life would they have in Las Vegas? So to hear the two of them and Jane Boyd, who's visiting from Vancouver area, chatting in Las Vegas, all it does is whet my appetite for more substantial knowledge of Las Vegas. Everybody I speak to here in Ireland about Las Vegas, I'm going to say they're divided into people who are willing to go off there and get married, and I've come across people who have gone to Las Vegas to be married, people who have gone there like McColgan from Scotland. In fact, now I kick myself, because if I listened back to some of McColgan's reports from Las Vegas, I'd be much more knowledgeable. So maybe that's what I should be doing. But anyway, the whole idea of the three people, Jane, Diane and Stephen, chatting in Las Vegas and, you know, naming me, tagging me in the audio boo, is a thrill for one thing. And it's also one hell stark contrast with the Atlantic Ocean, which you can't see from here. I mean, the mist is so thick that you would not know what was out there on the other side of the sea wall. My daughter, meanwhile, is alone in the playground. Alone in the playground. She really isn't somebody who needs to have other people doing the same thing for her to draw enjoyment out of it. She's walking around a ring that is going underneath her feet in the opposite direction. So she's walking clockwise and the other, it's going anti-clockwise. So anyway, that's it. And on my left-hand side, for those of you in Las Vegas, just to give, is marum grass, which is the grass that grows on golf courses that are called links here. La Hinch Golf Course is, you know, deserves many more audio views, and I'm not going to do them, but it's deserted. I see the flag of the European Union, the Irish flag. I see the Canadian flag. I see the Lahinch flag of the golf course. And what else do I see? I see something that's about all I can see at this distance, across the dunes, for those of you who know it, alongside the third tee in Lahinch and the golf club there. So that's it. That's from Las Vegas, or not, not from Las Vegas, to Las Vegas with love, as they say. And who knows, it's people I would be drawn to. So, you know, I would love, of course, to go back to Las Vegas. You know, what do you have as a child? You get overwhelmed. I was pretty well overwhelmed by everywhere in the United States in the summer of 1968. That was, for those of you who weren't even alive at the time, the summer of the Democratic Party convention and all the excitement in Chicago, which I can refer to now as if it was, but at the time I felt really, I identified with lots of the struggle that was going on at the time there. Anyway, that's a bit of history that can wait for another time. This is a bit of weather. And I'll just let you hear the weather as I walk around the children's playground. Come on, Rocky, we'll go. Now, come on, let's walk. So the iPhone in the left hand, the umbrella in the left between the small finger and the next finger, the dog on a lead in the right hand, and my head covered with some kind of a little bit waterproof covering, and it being wet here. Now let's see what... Come on, I'd prefer to be walking with some vigour. Let's see what I can get out of Grace. Grace, would you like to go to Las Vegas?
No.
Would you like to go to Las Vegas? Have you ever heard of it?
Dad, stop doing audio boo.
Okay. Will you hold dog then? We'll go. Let's go down the. Let's go down the seafront.
No.
Well, rather than stopping the audio, I decided to carry it on. We're now walking along the promenade in Lahinch. This is the Atlantic Ocean. This is County Clare. And in front of me are people in kayaks. I see a guy doing maneuvers, or a person doing maneuvers in a sea kayak and aiming to do surfing in the kayak. I see two people on surfboards and another person walking into the sea dressed in a rubber suit. He doesn't have a surfboard, or that person doesn't have a surfboard. They're kind of androgynous, aren't they, really, surf suits. And past me goes a guy in a yellow... Hey!
Yeah, it's okay.
Oh, he's dropped a man in a yellow suit. Looks like a harness on his back. I think he might be one of these, wind catch you and pull you up in the air. He's dropped his shoe. Right, I think I might have a look here and see. We've got shoes by... I'm lifting them over here. Lamborghini or something like that. Oh, no, they're Champion shoes. Anyway, they're... Now, my daughter's gone on strike and abandoned me back there with the dog. So I'm just going to walk down the seafront a little bit further, just to see what's going on. This is a place that has become pretty famous for surfing in Irish terms. I mean, there is Bundoran and there is Tramore. I think those three places would be the three centres of surfing. But certainly surfing has given economic life to Lahinch. I mean, where are we now? Early January. There would normally be nothing happening in Lahinch, and the summer tourist season lasts about 2.5 months, and you know, people are trying to eke a living out in that period of time. So this brings a lot of people down to Lahinch during the winter, thanks to the technology of all these wetsuits. Now I'm passing a Bliss stick designed boat, and those of you who are into rowing or kayaking like Roger Overall used to do in the old days. Bliss Stick, BLISSSTICK, you might know it. But they look like it's kids. It's a crowd of kids who are being given lessons on sea kayaking. And I see, how many do I see? I see about 12, or if not more. And they're in these tiny little, there's a guy there in a blue one, somebody else in an orange one, somebody in a yellow and orange one. What fun! Wow! This is stuff we didn't have when I was a wee boy. Now, I think I better go back rather than abandon my daughter on the seafront. She'll be ever so aggrieved if I just carry on ignoring her. But relentlessly, the sea sweeps in. The tide is on the wane, I think, now. But it's the white horses are vigorous. And there's spray off the load of rocks here, at the top end of the beach. It's a long beach in the Hinch by Irish standards. I have to say by Irish standards, because yesterday I was talking about beaches in South Africa with somebody, and apparently from Cape Town, not very far from Cape Town, there's beaches that run for about 25, 30 kilometers, if not more. Anyway, the person who didn't have a surfboard has got a white surfboard and is now heading into the sea. Wonderful. Great for adrenaline. Okay, so Las Vegas, eat your heart out. This is the Atlantic Ocean. Actually, I really would swap a bit of this if I could be whisked over there into the sun and the warmth, because I'm sure it's about at least 27 degrees right now, Celsius. Okay, I'm back here. Hello, Rocky. Hello, Grace.